It's good to be back amongst you tonight again. And I was asked by a number of people what was going on there Sunday. And so I'm going to make a short announcement and try to keep it short tonight. And if you want to turn to Colossians 3 while I'm talking, that's where we'll be tonight. I was down at Union Hope Gospel Chapel Sunday morning, and I was about 10 or 15 minutes into the message, and I started to feel real weak. I broke out into a sweat, and I told the folks there I just couldn't go on. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't hardly talk. So I sat down in the pew there, and a couple of the brethren came up, and they tried to take my pulse, but they couldn't find it. And then they were telling me, "Earl, you got to go to the hospital." I said, "No, I don't want to go to the hospital." You know. And they kept on urging me. I kept on saying no. And then I almost passed out while I was sitting there, and I thought, it's time for me to go to the hospital. So they called the ambulance and took me to Wake Med in Raleigh. And in the emergency room, they took an EKG, took some blood work. The EKG was okay, so they told me they wanted to keep me overnight at the hospital to find out what the problem was. And they did some more EKGs and took some more blood Sunday night and Sunday afternoon. And Monday morning I had an echocardiogram. That's kind of like an ultrasound of your heart. I believe that's right. Carrie's nodding her head, so that's correct. And they said that was okay. And the second EKG they took was okay. The doctor there took me off one of the medications that I was on. And I tell you what, I've been feeling pretty good since he took me off that medication. At least today I was. I've been feeling pretty good today. I've learned a couple of lessons through this this past Sunday. We'll talk about that as we go along in Colossians 3. I know I left out a lot of details. If you want to talk to me after the meeting, I'll be glad to fill you in. I knew that y'all were praying for me. I knew that in the emergency room. I felt the presence of the Lord. And I knew that was because of the prayers of God's people. And I appreciate that. I really do. And I appreciate your concern and your encouragement that you gave me. And I'll probably have to repeat all this stuff over Sunday morning, but at least y'all know what was going on. But tonight, we'll just move on to the message in Colossians 3 tonight. Somebody had said that, they said earlier, if you want to use Gibby's chair, you know, you can go to, you can. I said, no, that's Gibby's chair. That's not my chair. Not your chair. It's Gibby's chair. Doesn't belong to North Gate Chapel. That's Gibby. Got his name stamped on it somewhere. Lord. But hopefully this time I make it through the message. and it wasn't like that Sunday morning. But anyway, Colossians 3, we're going to look at verses 13 through 17 tonight. This will be a short passage that we're going to take a look at. The last time we were considering Colossians, we covered verses 1 through 12. And we learned that the Apostle Paul was giving some good, solid teaching and instruction for our Christian life, for our Christian experience. And we noticed in verse 5 that we were supposed to mortify some things or put to death some things in our life. And Paul has listed those in verse 5. Also in verse 8, he urged us to put off some things in verse 8 there. And if you drop down to verse 12, you see that he was encouraging us to put on some things as believers in verse 12. And in these verses 5 through 17, Paul is talking of mainly about our everyday Christian experience, our relationships with one another. And we'll talk about that, explore that. And we're going to start reading at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And we'll stop right there. One of the things that Paul mentioned in verse 12 is some things that we should put on in verse 12, the things that we should clothe ourselves with. These are not the things in verses 12 and 13. We're not supposed to avoid these things. We are supposed to be able to clothe ourselves or put on these things in verse 12 and 13. And in verse 13, Paul says, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. In other words, we put up with one another. You know, Christians, sometimes we disagree about a lot of things. We disagree about scriptures. We disagree about other things. We disagree about politics. Disagree about sports. You know, there's a lot of disagreements that Christians we can enter into. But we can also disagree without being disagreeable. That's what it means to forbear one another. Be patient. Be patient with the failures of others, with the idiosyncrasies and of the people of God. And you know, we all have those things. You know, some of you may think, well, that Earl, you know, it's certain things that he does, I just can't stand. I just don't like that. Please don't tell me about them. You tell the Lord about them. But, you know, there's some things that you and I do and we see in other believers that may rub us the wrong way. There's some personality differences. And there may be disagreements of minor and major things. But, you know, the Lord calls on you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ to forbear with one another, to be patient with one another. And if we have a grieved or we have a quarrel against one another, if we are aggrieved, we are supposed to never hold on to an offense, to never to try to get even. That's God's way. And if that's God's way, it should be our way. And Paul makes the statement at the end of verse 13. He said, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, our Savior forgave us freely with no strings attached, didn't he? We didn't have to do anything. He didn't make us jump through hoops. He didn't make us do certain steps. He didn't make us do certain things or certain works we had to perform before he would forgive us. The Lord Jesus Christ forgave us when we asked him to. He forgave all our sins. We as God's people have a responsibility before God to forgive one another. And, you know, we can take offense. There's a lot of things that, you know, we do that that offend other people. I've had to deal with that in my Christian experience over the years. So have you. But let's also remember our Savior. Let's also remember the fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord, was willing to forgive us all our sins. We as the people of God have a responsibility to forgive one another. You know, that's our responsibility. But in verse 14, Paul continues on. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, that is love, which is the bond of perfectness. In verse 14. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, you remember that great chapter on love. He said, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, or love. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of those is love. I wrote down a statement, a thought that I thought about in reference to verse 14. And it is, love is the lubricant that makes our relationships tolerable. This is how we forbear one another, brother and sister in Christ. This is how we forgive one another. It's through love. Through love. And the Apostle Paul says, put on love. That is, clothe ourselves with love. When you and I are having a relationship with one another, that it should be done in love. That love is that lubricant. Love is the bedrock, if you want to call it that, of our relationships with one another. And it's easy to forget that, isn't it? It's easy to forget. When we get mad at our brethren, you know, and it's easy to forget the fact that that we should love one another, just like the Lord Jesus loved us. And he says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace of God, in the midst of turmoil and adversity, we have tranquility of heart. Regardless of where we are or what we're doing, we can and we will experience God's wonderful peace. It's possible to have that. I experienced that Sunday afternoon, laying in the emergency room in the hospital. I had the peace of God. There was nobody there to help me. I mean, other than doctors and nurses, no brothers and sisters in Christ, no family members. I was there all by myself, all alone. But I had the peace of God. One of the reasons, of course, I had that peace is because y'all were praying for me. I know that. But God gave me His peace during that time. And, you know, the Lord will put us into certain situations in our lives and where He will withdraw all the support we have, you know. He'll put us into situations where we can't depend on other people, that we can't depend on our own will, our own intellect. The only thing that we can depend upon is the Lord. He is the only one who could help us in a situation like that. That's where I was Sunday afternoon. And I know that that's where you have been in your life as believers. Most of you, all of you can tell us about, you can testify of the fact that you had God's peace in certain situations in your life, in certain times of adversity. But we have the peace of God. And Paul says, he says to the Colossians, let that peace rule in your hearts. That is, let the peace of God decide all doubts in our hearts. Let it settle all the questions. Let it make the final decision in our hearts. One translation says that the word rule here, they use the word umpire. Let the peace of God umpire in our hearts. Let it rule in our hearts. And he says in verse 15, be ye thankful. At the end of verse 15, he says, be ye thankful. Be appreciative. Give praise to God. And I can tell you that I've been thanking the Lord for getting me through this situation. You have done that in your life. You have given praise and told God, that told the Lord that you appreciate what He has done for you, how He's brought you through certain areas, how He's brought you through the adversity, how He has taught you the lessons that He wanted you to learn. Be ye thankful. We should be people that are thankful to our Savior. And in verse 16, Paul says, telling the Colossians, telling us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ, that is the teachings and instructions that are found in the Scriptures regarding our Savior, let those things, those teachings, those instructions dwell in our hearts, in our minds. You know, if we saturate our minds and our hearts with the word of God and we walk in obedience to that word, you know, it will give us wisdom. And that's what Paul is talking about in verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If we need guidance, we must saturate ourselves with the word of God. If we need strength, we need to know the word of God. If we need encouragement, we need to know the word of God. If we need the peace of God in adverse circumstances, we need to know the word of God. The word of Christ. And he also says in verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching in this particular context has to do with doctrine. 2 Timothy, you recall that verse in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's the first word that was used there for teaching. The word admonishing here is our duty. That is our duty and responsibility to one another and to God. You know, we know brothers and sisters in Christ who may be struggling with something in their lives. we can take the scriptures, we can read those scriptures to them, that's doctrine. And we take and admonish them, that's the responsibility part that we have, admonish them and encourage them from the Word. We have a duty and responsibility to teach and admonish one another. This is not just for the church leaders, this is for all of us as believers. We should teach and admonish one another. Now, I don't mean you back me into a corner, take your hymn book, start beating me over the head with it. That's not what we're talking about. That's a joke, by the way. Some of you are not smiling. But teaching, when we teach and admonish one another, we're doing it because we love one another and we want to encourage and strengthen one another. And Paul says that we do so through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms is a reference to the book of Psalms, which was sung by the nation of Israel. The Israelites used the Psalms as their hymn book. And that's what they sang when they were together. Some early Christian groups like the Puritans used to take the book of Psalms and use that. They would sing the Psalms most of the time without instrumental accompaniment. They would sing them a cappella, I guess. But we sing to one another, or we minister one another with psalms, with hymns, that is songs and worship, songs of worship and praise to God. You know, we have a hymn book, don't we? And we have many hymns. We have songs of worship and praise to God. We also have spiritual songs, that is, religious poetry describing our Christian experience. All these things, if you notice the hymn books that we, or the hymns that we sing, you notice that it has psalms, it has hymns, and it has spiritual songs, you know, woven through the hymn book, just like a tapestry. And we sang some of those hymns. Jesus, the very thought of thee. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And there are many more that we sing, especially at the Lord's Supper. We can sing these songs and hymns to God Himself, to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Isn't that great? And I know some of you have told me that you, in your private meditations and quiet time with the Lord, you sing hymns. And that's certainly appropriate. And the Apostle Paul is telling us in verse 16, giving that to us as a word of encouragement to the people of God as we minister to one another, that we can do so with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we can minister to the Lord Himself through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And he also says, singing with grace in your hearts. And we use the psalms, the spiritual songs, and we sing them to the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about there. And finally, in verse 17, Paul makes a statement, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Paul makes a similar statement in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In that verse, Paul takes very simple things like eating and drinking, and we can do them to the glory of God. But in verse 17, Paul is talking about words and deeds. He says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, that is, our words and our actions should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we say, our conduct and our behavior should be done in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That puts a whole new perspective on how we should relate to one another, doesn't it? Do we relate to each other in our words and deeds? Do we do it for the glory of God? Do we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's easy to do things in the energy and power of the flesh. That's real easy. You know, we still have that wicked sin nature indwelling us. It's easy to give in to that. We all do. We all give in to that. But just think about this, brother, sister in Christ. When we talk to one another, the way we conduct ourselves with one another, the way we behave with each other, should be done to the glory of God. And we do it in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And as we are doing this, we are giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Paul again tells us and encourages us to give thanks to the Lord Jesus, to God and the Father, by Christ, by Him. And you know, I've been thinking recently about verse 17, and you know, we must reach some conclusions in our lives. Do our words and our actions line up with what the Scriptures teach? Do they line up with what God wants us to do? Do we treat each other in our words and our deeds with according to the glory of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Those are the questions that we need to answer from our hearts. Those are the things that you and I need to think about. Do we do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus for His sake? For His sake. But that's the end of the passage for tonight. Sunday morning we'll be picking up in verse 18. And I believe Brother Michael has some prayer requests.